Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, August the 5th. Actually, it was a very mild and pleasant day here in North Texas today. We didn't have the heat that we've had for the last several weeks, so it was kind of mild, you know. You still needed the air conditioning, of course, especially if you're driving. But it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was not the triple-digit heat index that we've been experiencing here lately. Well, let's start tonight by talking a little bit about these primaries that we had in several states yesterday. And there were clearly two conclusions that you can draw from these primaries. On the Republican side, not much happened except for one very important primary that could have an impact in November. The Republicans were looking for a candidate to run for the Senate seat in Kansas, and this is to replace Senator Pat Roberts, who's retiring this year. Now, normally, Kansas is a pretty reliable Republican state, but last time around in 2018, they nominated a man for governor who lost the seat. He lost the seat to a Democrat. You know, it was a moderate Democrat, but nevertheless lost the seat. And he was running this year for the Senate's nomination. But I think, thankfully, for the Republicans and President Trump, the more moderate, more electable Republican won the nomination. So I think all the odds are now in his favor to be the next senator from Kansas. That could have been scary because Kris Kobach, that's the gentleman's name, who is a pretty controversial guy. I mean, he turns a lot of people off. He's a conservative, but he turns off a lot of people. And the party was hoping that they wouldn't have to deal with him beyond the primary. It doesn't look like they will. So that was actually a pretty big win for the Republicans in Kansas. What we saw on the Democrat side, though, is something that we have been seeing now over and over again in these primaries, and that is that candidates from the left, candidates from what we would call the AOC wing of the party, more to the left, if you will, more to the left than a liberal Democrat. I mean, these people are really not liberals. They're more socialists and left-wingers, like AOC in New York. Well, many of these guys ran, and they toppled another incumbent Democrat. You may remember there were two in New York that were defeated. There could have been three in New York, but they had that long recount, and the incumbent won the recount. This is the one where they're still counting votes, and there's controversy about some of the votes that were mailed in. But it's the message, I think, that you're seeing over and over from many of these Democrat elections or primaries is that the left wing of the party is really gaining power in the party. And this is very bad for Joe Biden because these people are going to demand that Joe Biden take positions that he's not going to be able to keep when he goes national. If he ever goes national, that's another debate. But, you know, Joe Biden is trying to present himself as some kind of a moderate, but it's kind of hard to do that when you make a deal with Bernie Sanders, and on top of that, you have more and more of these candidates who are winning primaries, meaning they're the ones that are going to be running in November, and they're the ones that are either going to be attached to you or they're not going to be excited about you. So this is, I think, it was a good night for the Republicans, I think, because the Republicans got the choices they wanted. I'm not sure that it was a good night for the Democrats, especially Joe Biden, because a lot of these people are simply not going to be very happy with a Joe Biden who pretends to be a moderate. Look, Joe Biden, if you look at his whole career, I wouldn't call him a radical left-winger, but here in the last couple of years, he has really moved to the left. And in ways that even I find very shocking, positions like abortion and defunding the police and climate change, positions that he really never had before. But he's moving very far to the left, and these people who are winning these primaries are going to force him to go further further and further to the left. By the way, speaking of Joe Biden, I just saw a Gallup poll today saying that young blacks are just not excited about Joe Biden. They're not even very excited about the Democrat Party. And I think I'm gonna do a post about this Gallup report, because it's interesting, because what many young blacks are saying is, look, we had a black president. We've had black mayors and black city governments, but nothing seems to change. You know, we're still, these inner cities are still a mess. And, you know, if some of these young blacks would understand why their cities are a mess, a lot of it has to do with the leadership they keep voting for. I mean, if they would maybe say, you know, we're going to try Republicans for a change, couldn't be any worse. But that's a problem again for Biden, because he just doesn't seem to excite people, and he just doesn't seem to excite the base. And when you see all these left wingers winning primaries, that's just a big problem for Joe Biden. Well, the other big story today is who approved the FISA warrants. Sally Yates was before the Senate today. I don't know if she was physically there. I think they may have done this by Skype or whatever. But anyway, she appeared before the Senate hearings today on this whole question of the FISA warrants. And she says something, I'm just kind of paraphrase what she said. She said, look, if I would have never signed it if I knew there was bad information in that FISA warrant. And when she was pressed on this, she said, look, I just didn't know I guess she didn't know what she was signing. So I guess they just said, here, like, sign this, and she signed it. And then, of course, the FISA warrant turned out to be a total lie, and it was based on that FISA warrant that they were, you know, spying on the Trump campaign. So I don't know that she can get away with that answer. You know, when you're pretty high up there in the Justice Department, you cannot say, well, you know, I didn't know what I was signing. I didn't know that it was a document full of lies. I just don't think you can get away with that. And I know that the senator from Missouri was pressing her on that, saying, well, who's going to be held accountable here? And that's going to be the big issue. Now, President Trump went crazy today on the Twitter, saying that this was the biggest political scandal in American history. He's not wrong about that, by the way. He's not wrong about that. But what I would suggest for President Trump is just let the Attorney General do his work. I'm very impressed with Attorney General Barr, and I think the Attorney General is on to something here with this investigation. And I think the best thing that President Trump could do is just to let the Attorney General do his work. And I have a feeling that we're going to see something. I don't know exactly when, but I think we'll see something soon as to many of these really not just mistakes, but corruption that was going on in the Obama administration, in, you know, spying on people and so on. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today following up on a story out of Chicago where a state rep there in Chicago wants to go to the Department of Education or the people who do the school curriculum for the kids in Illinois. And basically they want to do away with history class. They want to completely drop the history class and replace it with something else. I'm not exactly sure what they will replace it with, but, you know, who's going to teach the history of the country if everybody's a racist? You know, what are we going to do? You know, what kind of a country is this going to be, you know, where we cannot even agree on the history of the country? I mean, I tell you, it's getting scary out there because, you know, we seem to be setting a lot of, you know, we're setting up the table, I think, for what potentially be a civil war. I mean, when a country cannot agree on its history, then I think we got some real problems. Now, there are some concerns as to whether or not we're going to have debates. My guess is that we will. I think we will. My real question is, and I'm really beginning to think about this, I haven't quite, I'm about 50%. I'm about 50% believing this. So I'm not 100%, but I'm 50%. I don't even think Joe Biden is going to be the Democrat nominee. Because it seems like, you know, when you see Joe Biden do an interview, he looks so bad and he looks so sloppy. And I kind of feel sorry for the guy, really. I mean, as I've said to many people, I don't dislike Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden has been around for a long time. We've all kind of grown accustomed to Joe. But it's a little embarrassing to watch him. I don't know if you saw this interview that he had here in the last couple of days where an African-American journalist was asking him about a cognitive test. And he went off and said some pretty foolish things, actually. Made absolutely no sense whatsoever. So, you know, I'm beginning to wonder if Democrats are not going to sort of huddle together and say, you know, Joe, this is not the year for you. We have a chance to win this year, and you're actually hurting our chances to win. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Now, who takes over for Joe? I don't know. That's another debate. But when you see Joe Biden, I mean, this interview that he did with this journalist, I mean, he just doesn't make any sense. He doesn't look in control. He looks like a man who, I mean, I'd be afraid to put him in a debate with Trump because Trump is in your face. I mean, and we, you know, we saw that with Hillary Clinton, and we saw it with some of the Republicans during the debates. I mean, Trump is in your face. Trump doesn't hold back. He goes right after you. And I'm not sure that, frankly, I'm not sure that Biden can take it. I just don't know how else to say it. But he looked really bad in that interview that they did today. He hasn't looked good in any interview, frankly, that he's done. So you have to begin to wonder, you know, what Republicans are thinking. And maybe even his own wife, you know, what she's thinking. I mean, it's humiliating to see her husband go through these public appearances. Well, a couple of things on this day in history. In 1957, American Bandstand, the great television show with Dick Clark, went national. It used to be in Philadelphia, but on this day in 1957, it went national. And for the next 35 years, this was one of the most successful and longest-running TV shows in the United States. It was a great show. I grew up watching it every Saturday afternoon. I think it was Saturday at noon. Central Time. There was Dick Clark at American Bandstand, the top 10, all the kids dancing. I thought it was fantastic. It was a great program. And it went national on this day in 1957. 1979, Willie Mays was inducted in the Hall of Fame. In my opinion, the most complete baseball player in Major League history. I really cannot think of a better player. Now, I know that's debatable, and we could do a whole show on that, but I just don't think that there has ever been a player who could do more things than Willie Mays. He could do everything on the field, running, stealing bases, catching fly balls. He was an amazing center fielder, a power hitter. I mean, the guy could do everything, and that's why I say he was, in my opinion, the most complete baseball player in Major League history. And on this day in 1979, he was inducted formally into the Hall of Fame. And on this day in 1981, President Reagan had been on the job maybe 6-7 months, and he got into a fight with the air controllers. And he basically told them, look, guys, you cannot go on strike. And if you go on strike, I am going to fire you. Well, I guess they went on strike. And President Reagan fired them. And it was really an amazing moment because what President Reagan did is he demonstrated that you can fire a public sector employee. And it was a huge victory in many ways for President Reagan. I remember that as if it was yesterday, Reagan firing these controllers. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.